Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 8, 2013. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And for an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. Most people would say I gave up my right to privacy with doing that, but I feel like I gave up my right to privacy a long time ago when I accepted the Lord Yeshua and decided to follow him and work for him. You can always find updates, though, with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And you folks that are out there listening on satellite or maybe listening by the telephone, you can call me if you need to, because I know a lot of you do not use the Internet. Anyway, some good news got to me today. Next week on Thursday, our Sunday Mission Watch program is moving to a live spot. Yep, it'll be on Thursday afternoons live at 5 to 6 p.m. Central. I guess that's evening. But it'll be live at 5 to p.m. Central. That's 2 hours before this program comes on. And what is great is it will still replay, do the normal replays in its normal Sunday time, which is 8 p.m. Central on Sunday nights. So tune in twice next Thursday and from now on for some really great programming. And I guarantee we'll have some great guests lined up. But I'm really excited about tonight's guest and the topic. So without further ado, I'm going to say a prayer and bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And so please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, the world stage has been drastically changing. Yes, things changed somewhat at 9/11, but I felt the real need to start blowing the warning shofar on this program when the Arab Spring started. We watch as the Muslims scream about their Mahdi returning with Jesus to behead those who do not accept Islam. Christians are already being beheaded, burned alive, run out of their own countries because of this so-called Arab Spring. Yes, much has really changed. America seems to be sliding down an abomination, well, whole with same-sex marriage and pushing abortion worldwide. Billy Graham is even calling for a revival and is appalled at the lack of morality and lack of guilt that Americans seem to have concerning their commission of sins. Folks, when I first saw the November comet I saw coming, and I talked about it a lot on radio, I felt it was a harbinger of some coming events. What I really didn't know, that comet is supposed to be brighter than a full moon, and the timing of it, I just found out, is also amazing, considering also the fact that it's coming before the blood moons next year. Well, tonight I bring on with me Pastor Mark Blitz of El Shaddai Ministries to speak about all these signs coming, the comet, the blood moons, the feast, and well, let's just bring on Mark. Mark, are you there with me?
Sure am, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, as you said, you are coming in loud and clear, even though you're using your cell phone tonight. And I really envy that you got to be off to the mountains today.
Yes, we went up toward Mount Rainier and got some beautiful pictures. It's beautiful weather here. It was a gorgeous day. You can't help but see the majesty of God.
Well, amen. Well, the majesty of God, is that what we have to look forward to with this comment? Just take us right into it.
Well, sure. It even says in Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is handiwork. And I tell you what, in Genesis 1:14, God said he created the sun and the moon specifically to send signs on his feast days. And I can't help but think that comet Ison, as you had mentioned, it gets lit up on November 28th, is what all the scientific data says. Well, most people don't know, but November 28th is the first night of Hanukkah, and God says, I get to light the first candle.
Well, amen. For the folks out there, because we have a varied audience, what is Hanukkah, you know, for them? Why should they care about Hanukkah?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, most people that read their Bibles don't even know that Jesus kept Hanukkah. It's mentioned in John chapter 10. The problem is they decided not to correctly translate it. In John 10, it talks about how it was winter at the Feast of Dedication. Well, dedication is the English translation of the word Hanukkah. And as a matter of fact, Matthew 24, which talks about the end times, most people don't realize it, but from the cultural context, that's Hanukkah revisited. It's Hanukkah is going to happen again, is what Matthew 24 was all about. And it was about 168 B.C. when Antiochus Epiphanes, the type of Antichrist, very big parallels, desecrated the altar, but the abomination of desolation in, like Daniel talks about. And it was just a few years later that they rededicated the temple. And that's what Hanukkah is all about, is the rededication of the temple after it was defiled.
Well, amen. But, you know, and folks, it's an amazing study. And you do have a good DVD. I want to point to that over there. What is that one called that I like so well on the feast? What is that one called? Because people need to understand.
Yeah, it's just called The Feast of the Lord. It's like four or five DVDs of 6 hours of teaching with the workbook that comes with it called The Feast of the Lord. It's on our homepage, on our website, on the little slider. Can't miss it.
Okay. Well, folks, you should, if you don't understand the feast, I guarantee you, over the years, I've watched a lot of different DVDs on the feast, and this one that Mark does, or has did, is the best one that I've seen. It gives you so much of this, you'll want to share it with everybody. But anyway, having said that, Mark, well, you know, why is this one so special? What's these other things coming? We're hearing about some other signs coming.
Well, right, exactly. Going back to the comet Ison in 70 A.D., even Josephus, the historian who lived back then, said that there was this comet that appeared over Jerusalem for a whole year. You know, and they saw it as a harbinger of the destruction of the temple coming. And then here, this fall, on the first night of Hanukkah, we have comet Ison as a harbinger of what's to come. And as you so appropriately mentioned, here we have four total lunar eclipses coming back-to-back in 2014 and 2015, and it just so happens they fall on the first day of Passover and the first day of Tabernacles 2 years in a row. And like I said in Genesis 1:14, God said he sent, he made the sun and the moon to send signs on his feast days. And here we have them happening on his feast days. And the last time it happened was in 1967 when Israel captured Jerusalem. And the time before that was right after 1948 when they became a nation. So when you look at the pattern, I think it's pretty incredible. I don't know what to expect, but we can sure need to be watching.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it just so happens. I don't believe in just so happens. I believe it's all very well planned. But what is a blood moon?
Sure, it's a total lunar eclipse. There's partial lunar eclipses. There's also what's called a penumbral lunar eclipse, where the moon's not completely blocked out. But a total blood moon, or as it even says in the Isaiah and in Joel, the moon will turn to blood and the sun to sackcloth. The plain meaning of that, to interpret it, is basically a total solar eclipse and a total lunar eclipse. And so that's what a blood moon is. It's a total lunar eclipse.
Well, that's pretty incredible. And two of them in a row, that's and on the feast days, two times in a row.
It's 2 years in a row, four times in a row.
Four times. Okay, so what's the...
Passover and Tabernacles in 2014, then again Passover and Tabernacles in 2015. So you have these four blood moons back-to-back on the feast days with no other lunar eclipses in between.
Well, you know, for some people, of course, we know, Passover is a spring feast, and it was fulfilled by Messiah's first coming. But what about Tabernacles? What's that for the people?
Well, sure. Most Christians, as we know, hindsight is 2020. They're familiar with the spring feast, the Feast of Passover. Like I like to say, just so happens to be the very day he died. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is when he was buried. The Feast of First Fruits is when he rose from the dead. The Feast of Shavuot is when the Spirit was poured out in Acts. And he fulfilled every single one of those to the day of his first coming. So I believe he'll fulfill the fall feast to the day of his second coming. We don't know what year, but the pattern proves this. So the next feast to be fulfilled in the fall is the Feast of Trumpets. Well, I know everyone's heard of the term trumpets in the Book of Revelation. And then comes the Feast of Yom Kippur, which is Israel's Day of Atonement, where they will realize that Yeshua is their Messiah. And then comes the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles begins or kicks off in the millennial reign, where the Lord tabernacles with man for 1,000 years.
That's really exciting. That's really exciting. And with all these things going on, we just, I get chills about these things coming this year. Like I say, I noticed early on in the year about the comet, and I thought, wow, that's got to be something with a comet that's, brighter than the moon. But then the blood moons, and there's a lot out there, folks, on the blood moons. But, Mark, weren't you, I think you were the first one that really brought it forward, weren't you?
Yes, I was in 2008. March of 2008 is when I came out with that teaching, and a lot of people have written books on it. I haven't even written a book, but a lot of people have written books and took off with this. But a lot of people have also misinterpreted what I said or come to different conclusions than what I said. So you really got to be careful, in watching your source.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I would, folks, I came to the source. I'm getting older. I did remember that I thought I heard Mark talk about it a few years. In fact, didn't you pass another DVD out with your other DVDs about that?
Yes, I sure did. It all happened in 2008 was when I put the first video out. So anyone could see that I was the first one to talk about it. And I believe we have a link to it on our website. But, yeah, it was. It just so happened again. For the first time ever, someone in our congregation decided to bring a video camera and videotape one of our services, and that just happened to be the one we videotaped. And then we put it on our website, and then it got picked up by Prophecy in the News and WorldNet Daily and Bill Koenig with Watch.org, and so from there it just ran all over the globe.
Yeah, amen. Well, it's a good, strong message, and now thinking about it, it's getting closer. Do you feel any anxiety or, I don't know, not anxiety or joy or just apprehension or any feelings at all about these coming?
Well, I would say the proper adjective for me would be excitement. In a sense, I'm excited about what the Lord's doing and his soon return. What I see happening, if you look at the pattern, now, I don't know if it's going to be at the beginning of the blood moons, in the middle of the blood moons, or at the end, but I see from looking at the pattern in 1948, 1967, what's coming is a biblically prophetic war involving Israel. And as you know in the Bible, there are several biblically prophetic wars that have not taken place yet, such as the Isaiah 17 war where Damascus is destroyed. You have the Psalm 83 war with many Arab nations attacking Israel. And, of course, the Ezekiel 38 war, God-Magog war. So I just think people need to get ready more than anything else. People need to make sure they're spiritually ready above all things.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're spiritually ready, then, everything else will fall into place. If you feel that the Spirit will tell you if he feels that you need to move or whatever else it is you need to do or just to stay, right where you're at. Looking at these things, I think that you mentioned something profound, really. You said, well, you talk about the Israel, Israel and Israeli wars, biblical wars. Do you not think that people lose focus of the fact with the Bible that Israel is our time clock, so to speak?
You, Gavitt, so right, Pastor Dan. You hit the nail right on the head. Israel is the time clock. It really is. And that's why even the Lord said himself that Jerusalem is going to become the focus, the stumbling stone, and all nations are going to be focused on Jerusalem because that's where the Lord's returning. And so Jerusalem and Israel is definitely the focus. It's the timepiece. You hit the nail right on the head. That's what the appointed times talk about.
Yes, amen. We pray, you know, we were talking the other day, you know, and I mentioned the word messianic and Hebrew roots, and you said, no, people are just trying to get back to the truth or something like that. You care to speak on that a little bit?
Sure. I believe what people really want, and I see this because, like, I talk to people all over the world. We get over 3 million hits a month on our website. I get phone calls from different pastors from all over the world, different countries, different people talking. And what they want is the truth. They're tired of the milk and cookies that are being preached, and they want some meat and potatoes in their diet. And people know, I mean, just like they want to get back to the foundation. And we need to realize the foundation is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah. That has to be your bedrock. And so people are coming back, and you can use the term Hebrew roots, I guess, but they want to get back to their roots because our roots need to be deep. And this is what the Lord even talked about, how so many people, their roots aren't deep. And when the storms come, they're going to fall. And so we need to get our roots lengthened and deepened into God's Word for sure.
Yeah, amen. I've had kind of a, you know, when I first came out of the world, you know, I just studied the Bible, and I just wanted to get back to what the Bible said. And then a number of years after I'd already been keeping the Sabbath, I've kept the Sabbath for a very long time, I stumbled across a group of people that called themselves Messianic, and they were close in what I believe. And so, but lately the words, some people call themselves Messianic, some call them Hebrew roots, and there seems to be a lot of confusion. I am with you. I just, biblical, that's it. We just need to get back to the beginning and start from there. I don't think we need to put a name on it, do we?
No, I don't think so either. I'm kind of out of the box, and you may very well be as well, but I don't like labels. Too many people put labels, and they lump everybody into the same box, and that's definitely not me. So we don't call ourselves Messianic. There's a kind of a funny term where they call it Messianic, but I find within the Messianic movement there's all kinds of divisions and fighting and over all kinds of things, and a lot of them just need to grow up. You know, we just need to get back to the Bible and unity and, find our unity in the Messiah.
Well, you know what, we could have we're talking about these blood moons, just over the different doctrines that are out there and calendars. People could say, well, we're off because of the calendars. What do you use for a calendar, just for the record? What's your calendar?
Well, first off, it's not my calendar. It's the biblical calendar. But here's how I like to explain it. Let me ask you something. You're in Kansas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you were to go find a Kansas State Trooper's uniform and you go and put it on, and let's say you paint your car to look just like the State Trooper's car, and you go to the Kansas Library and you check out all the law books, and you're mad at all these horrible drivers that go too slow or go too fast, So you jump in your car and turn the siren on, and you go around stopping people and trying to arrest them. Is that going to work?
Not at all.
Matter of fact, you'll probably get arrested for impersonating an officer, right?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So the problem comes, you don't have any authority, do you?
No, none.
Right. Well, that's the same thing with these people trying to use their own calendar. For heaven's sake, you don't have any authority. That's the big problem. They may think that, you know, just because they put on a tallit and a kippah and have a Bible, they can decide if their barley crop is the right crop, if it's ripe, or if their sighting of the new moon determines the calendar. It's just ridiculous. All of this, they have no authority. What right does a Gentile have to tell the Jews when to keep the biblical calendar? So it really just comes down to authority issues. And so you know, God gave the authority to Moses. He didn't give it the authority to all 6 million Jews. Can you imagine what it would have been like if each one of the Jews, it was their own personal barley crop and their own personal sighting of the new moon that would determine the calendar? It'd be total chaos. Well, same thing today. If you've got a dozen people all saying they're the ones with the authority to sight the new moon and it's their barley crop, you're going to have nothing but chaos, and that's where a lot of the division is coming from. In these last days, God's turning back to the Jewish people, and he's going to use the calendar that he's given to them. Otherwise, they'll never see the signs. So he's, and when you look at all the historical events that happened, like on the 9th of Av, you know, the temple being destroyed twice, Hitler's proclamation to kill the Jews was on the 9th of Av, World War I started on the 9th of Av, even the Gaza Strip evacuation was at sunset of the 9th of Av. All these things are happening on the calendar that the Jews use today. And since they're the ones that have the authority, I believe we ought to use their calendar, because I think that's what God's going to be using.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's basically what one of my arguments with it is, you know, what gives us the authority to do it? We don't have authority to judge the barley crop or any of those things. And let alone, I mean, they've been practicing at it for quite some time, you know. You'd think they were close to right.
Yeah, well, the thing is this. Here's the thing. In Genesis 1:14, God said he put the sun and the moon to determine the feast, the Moedim. Okay, well, that's the default. That's the default. And so that's why Rabbi Hillel went back to the default when the Christian church told him they were going to kill them all if they kept citing the new moon. Well, God created everything scientifically. The sun and the moon are like clockwork. Nothing's changed. And
yeah,
so what he did, he just went back to the default position with the sun and the moon. Sure, God asked Israel to participate, just like a parent would want his son to help with something, you know, building a toy or whatever it is, you know, or mom having the kid help bake a cake, you know. But when the Jews got kicked out of the land, they had to go back to the default position that God set up, and that was the sun and the moon determined it. And so you can't have a bunch of people all thinking that they now have the authority to determine it. Hey, what happens if the barley crop was all eaten by locusts and there's no barley that year? Do they say, okay, God, sorry, we're not keeping Passover if there was no barley? You know, unless it was cloudy for 5 days in a row right toward the end of the month. Okay, you know, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
All right, and let me interrupt because we've got about 30 seconds to break time, and we come back and tell us some more really wonderful stuff. But tell them the name of your website so they can find it, and, of course, I'll put a link up to it on the archives. But what's your website?
Sure. The quickest way is just put in my name, Mark Biltz, in Google. But it's ElShaddaiMinistries.us.
ElShaddaiMinistries.us. And, folks, if you're not listening to this live or if you go to prophecyhour.com and you are listening at prophecyhour.com, you will find the archives advertiser and you will find a link to his website. And we'll be back in 3 minutes with more wonderful things from Mark from El Shaddai Ministries.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, it's really been a tough summer, but we're slowly starting to pull out of the all-time slump. Yeah, I guess that's what you call it, summer slump. But anyway, with so many people working part-time, you know, it's really a wonder we get any donations. And, you know, the homeless seem to be on the bottom of everyone's list of people that people want to donate. And then, of course, we keep the Sabbath in the speech, and most people don't understand us. In Wichita, they think that we're weirdos because of what we do. And they point to the Israeli flag and say, well, you know, you support Israel. And so a lot of people don't like us for those reasons. But so pray about it. You folks have helped us this ministry go for 14 years. And so pray about helping us if you can. Lift us in prayer. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer. And then they're treated as family. That's really the second. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we don't have what they need, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Well, you know, we're the last hope for so many. And folks, we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Mark Litz from El Shaddai Ministry, and we're talking about signs and wonders and just lots of things. So you still there with me, Mark? Hello? Mark, are you still on with me? Well, apparently, it seems like I have lost Mark. Let me do a check here. Frank, is Mark still on with me?
Yes,
you're still there? Oh, okay.
It sounded like you got disconnected, but I held on.
Okay, well, yeah, it's your turn to speak. I'm glad that you're there. Anyway, yeah, I said we're back with you now. Anyway, we were talking about various different things. Let's just pick it up. We were talking about the calendar and about, you know, different people and picking the times out.
Right, right. A lot of people, I don't know where they think they have the authority to determine the calendar. I mean, even if they lived in Israel, I mean, you could have someone down in the Negev or someone up in the Galilee or someone in Jerusalem, and they have all different weather. What happens if your barley crop doesn't ripen? What do? You know, skip Passover that year? So, anyway, the main thing is you can't have individuals thinking they have the authority to determine the calendar.
Well, it brings such division. I have seen such arguments over it, and ministries that started off good together, and then they came to this calendar thing, and then, you know, they don't keep the feast together, and it just splits. It's a terrible thing.
Oh, it really is. I mean, some people all of a sudden will keep Passover either a month earlier or a month later than the rest of the Jewish community, and I find a lot of it really is out-and-out anti-Semitism. And they'll even, you know, you can hear it in their voice. We don't use that rabbinic calendar, you know. Jesus was a rabbi, okay? But I really find a lot of it is anti-Semitism, really, is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, I'm not speaking against all people that use the word Hebrew roots, but, you know, I find a lot of people that choose to use the word Hebrew roots because they're really, it's kind of another form of anti-Semitism. They're trying to avoid the use of, being of anything Jewish, so to speak.
Right, no, like Jewish roots, right, exactly. That's what they do. Well, the problem that we have today is words mean different things to different people, even the word messianic, because to a Jewish person, a messianic is a Jewish person who's become a Catholic, who's trying to get other Jews to become Catholic. Well, if that's how you define it, most messianics would say we're definitely not messianic. So you really have to know who you're talking to before you use words. Because words mean different things to different people, even in different cultures. One of my greatest examples of misinterpretations in the New Testament from not knowing the culture or understanding the words was when Peter denied Christ, you know, and the cock crowed three times. Most people don't know that had nothing to do with a rooster or a crow crowing, because chickens and roosters weren't even allowed in Jerusalem during the time of the Lord, because the temple was there. It was holy. They don't want those stinking chickens to creep around. What actually happened, like a town crier, the temple crier who would cry out three times for the other priests at sunrise to begin their duties, was known as the cock crow. So the event actually happened, but everyone thinks a rooster was crowing rather than the temple priest was calling out.
That's simply amazing. But, yeah, absolutely. With all the, you know, but the subject there, so to speak, we're talking about... politically correct. It seems like right now with speech nowadays, I feel like I'm walking on in a field of landmines. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And it can be a very political, religious landmine. Well, just like when George Bush announced a crusade. Oh my gosh, you know, that has a whole load of different meaning. Everyone took that a different way. So, I mean, words do have meaning to different people.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I was, you know, really joyous at what you told me about your place. You were telling me how many people and from different walks and different, you
sure.
know. Tell us about your Sabbath service. That's joyous.
Sure.
Tell us about that.
Oh, it's incredible. I love it. We have about 700 people who come every Shabbat. And the amazing thing to me is they come from every denomination. We have Catholics and Baptists and Pentecostals and Methodists and Lutherans, United Brethren, you name it, every denomination they come. And we have every ethnic group. We have Hispanics and African Americans and Chinese and Korean, you know, Russians, everybody. And we all get along. Every ethnic group gets along. Every denomination group gets along. I really believe he who throws mud loses ground. And there's too many people out there that are burning bridges rather than building bridges. And that's what's so fun at our place. Everyone that comes together, we put aside our differences in ethnicity or in denomination. We even have pastors who come from other denominations, Korean pastors who translate everything into Korean. So that's what really makes it joyous and fun, is we're not here to argue or think someone's smarter than someone else or become what I call a Torah terrorist. You know, we just have fun in the Lord.
A Torah terrorist?
Yeah.
That's funny. I wonder if we'll get any slams from that. I get emails all the time because I step in landmines, not meaning to. You know, I'm basically a humble man, and I try not to offend anybody. But as you say,
I'm the same way. But at the same time, some landmines I purposely blow off. You know, the Torah terrorists, I mean, there's people who, I mean, oh, my goodness, they will, for example, the Sabbath, for that matter. Everyone knows Saturday's the Sabbath. Okay.
Right.
Now, of course, your Sunday keepers, you know, people get upset at them and they get mad. Well, that's not the Sabbath. Hey, well, guess what? In the temple, they had to worship every day, 7 days a week. They had to bring the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. So there's nothing wrong with meeting on Sundays. It's just not the Sabbath. You know, well, what happens, these Torah terrorists will get all over the Sunday keepers and totally blow up bridges rather than building a bridge with the pastors and the other people and bringing them in, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I know some people that, you know, when they found out that, you know, they had kept Christmas all their life, and then when they started keeping the feast, they would turn around and somebody would say, well, you know, Merry Christmas to them, you know, and they'd say, well, that's pagan day. And, you know, you can't build a bridge.
Exactly. They don't get it. Right. You're right, Dan. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we need to find those bridges, and that's really amazing. And so, you know, you must really be a humble man. And to, I can't imagine to have all those people in there, how you can, I mean, you just, it's just amazing. And that's how it should be. We should be coming together instead of being apart. And, you know, that really cheered me up when you told me about that the other day, Mark. I felt, you know, a humbling experience after you told me that. And, you know, I've been praying about that. We need to do that. Very comfy, you know, bring people in instead of locking them out.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I found along that line, like even when it comes with Christmas versus the Feast of Tabernacles or Easter versus Passover, think of if a little kid had a real sharp knife, let's say a three-year-old had a real sharp knife in his hand. If you panic, freak out, try to grab the knife, you could cut him or yourself. Instead, pull out a candy bar. What happens? In 2 seconds, they got the knife, they take the candy bar. Okay, problem solved. Well, it's the same thing. I don't take Christmas and Easter away. I give them Passover and I give them Tabernacles. And when they try it and they taste it and they see how good the Sabbath is and all these things are, well, then they will drop the other pagan holidays. I don't need to feed my ego and being the ones to rip it out of their hands. I give them things. You know, and then, lo and behold, they, you know, they drop the other things after they've tried it. I think of it as like a blind man that's relying on some kind of a crutch. If you pull the crutch away, they're going to panic. They're going to try to grab a hold of it tighter. But instead, if you build underneath them a solid foundation, once they build the solid foundation, they don't need the crutch. They'll throw the crutch away. And so we need to quit taking things away from people and begin to just give them things and let them walk, let God reveal these things to them in his own timing. And I think you'll win people easier that way.
Those are some very profound words. Absolutely, absolutely. I pray that some of you other folks out here that are listening to this tonight will listen to really listen to Mark's heart, because, you know, he's very speaking from the Holy Spirit. This is truth. This is the way to do it. And if any of you are Torah terrorists out there, I pray you repent. You know, you can even accidentally be one of those. Just because you're right doesn't make hurting them, you know, wrong. You know what I mean?
Hey, you see that if you've been married for any length of time. Sometimes, you know, whether you're right doesn't matter.
Yeah, I've been married 28 years. Being right doesn't really matter. Yeah, amen. But it does. Marriage is a big deal. It's about love, right. You know, and compromising, putting your position across. But amen. So where are you located at for the people? You know, you talked about the mountains to me. Where are you at?
Tacoma, Washington is where our congregation meets. Our offices are in Bonnie Lake, Washington. But, yeah, we meet at Tacoma. It's beautiful out here. It doesn't rain nearly as much as everybody likes to say, but it is cloudy a lot.
Right. Amen. Well, that's a great thing. But you pretty much covered everything with me tonight, and so I'm going to go ahead and let you go. But I appreciate you being on with me and explaining these things. And I guess we should all be looking forward to Hanukkah this year to see what happens. Amen.
I tell you what, like the Bible says, keep looking up. Here we got the comet Iphons, the blood moons, and I tell you what, we're in the month of Elul right now. It just started on Wednesday of this week. Is the very day Moses ascended the the mountain for 40 days, coming down on Yom Kippur. Wednesday was the very day Yeshua went into the wilderness for 40 days. We've now entered into these 40 days of repentance, getting ready for the Feast of Trumpets. So I just pray for all of your people that are listening, that they would really realize, as what they say in Judaism, the king is in the field. The creator of the earth is here in a special way, looking at all of our lives, watching how we treat people. So may the Lord bless you, Pastor Dan.
Well, thank you, and may blessing keep you also. You be blessed, my brother. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, folks, I let him off a little early, you know. He Mark's up there. He took time out today. He's him and his wife. He took time out from his. He's not doing his ministry today, but today he was in the mountains with his wife, taking pictures and enjoying some private time. And he chose to be on with us and explain this thing to us about the blood moons. And, you know, while there's a lot of things left out there, if you go online and you look around, a lot of people say, well, the blood moons, that means Armageddon's coming. Another person said, oh, the blood moons, that means it's rapture time. But, you know, one thing we can be certain of, you know, we have an event. We have a comet coming into us in the month of November. It's coming in on the time of Hanukkah. And if you don't know about Hanukkah, like he says, really, that was all about it's a shadow of the Antichrist. When you read the story of how the people were put to death, they were asked, a mother and her children, if you don't know that story, I'll tell you that story. A mother and her children were brought before Antiochus, and Antiochus wanted them to bow down and worship him as God, and wanted him to, you know. And the children, one by one, would say no. And depending on which story that you look at, some of the most gruesome stories in detail say that each child was tortured in front of the mother and the other children. But they refused to bow down and worship any other god but Yahweh. And that happened one at a time. And I think it was four sons. And it got to the last son anyway, which was a young child. And the man, the Antiochus, told him, said, now you don't want to have this gruesome death. You know, worship me. And he wouldn't do it. And his mother, neither would the mother, and they were all put to death gruesomely. But, you know, they did that for their faith. Are you prepared to face up to somebody in the end time? I mean, a lot of you folks out there are preachers of rapture. Well, what if you don't fly out? What if you don't fly out? Are you willing to stand up and give your life for Yeshua? Are you willing to stand there and say, no, I will not deny Messiah? Because if you deny, Messiah says, if you deny me before men, you know, he was not going to stand up for you with the Father. So you cannot deny Christ. So if you deny him, are you willing to die for him, really? Or is that just something you say? And that's what faith comes down to. You know, Mark said an amazing thing. He said, he was talking about how we treat people. You know, if it's something, you know, he called Torah terrorists. That's not treating people with love. You treat people with love and kindness, you'll draw them in. You know, you set examples. That's what we do at the Mission Church. I set examples. And they know we're different. They want to know who our God is. Who is your God that you worship that you're so different? As they say, how come you're not like all these other Christians that when they pull out of the parking lot, they're all the same way as everybody else? But why are you different? Why do people notice us as different? Because we allow Yeshua's love to come out of us all the time, and that's not just when we're at the Mission Church. I'm the same. You catch me at home, I'm the same at home as I am at the Mission Church. You know, love your neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, loving your neighbor as yourself is treating them kindly, you know, and doing things for them. Listen to Mark. He has people from all denominations of different churches, but it sounds like he has different nationalities in there. If you're in the neighborhood, go check out his ministry and come back and tell me about it, because I'd like to know firsthand. You know, if I'm in the area, I'm for sure going to visit. But that's what it's supposed to be at, because, you know, actually in the end time, it talks about the temple becoming a place of worship for all men. Well, how can that be unless there's love? And so love is the greatest thing. You know, Paul said that without love we have nothing. You know, without love, no matter whether you prophesy without love, you have nothing. If you believe in Christ without love, you have nothing. If you believe in the Torah, without applying love to Torah, then it's just not right. You must have love. Love must abound. And where does that love come from? That love is humbleness. Humbleness. That love comes from the Father. It comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why Yeshua usually the Father in Yeshua. Oftentimes people get broken all the way. And he breaks you so that he has something to rebuild. You know, because if you don't lose that sense of pride, well, my calendar is right and yours is wrong. I've just seen that division, and there's too much division out there. Like I say, when I first started out, I started off saying I was just being biblical because I didn't know any other name. And then I found some people that with a Jewish rabbi and everything, and I said, well, I'm Messianic. And this is the first I've heard from, I heard this out of Mark the other day, that, well, that's the Jews think that that's Catholic, being tried to change into Catholics. Well, I don't know about that, because we have, like Joel Chernoff, he's the head of the Messianic Jewish Alliance, and that's just being Christian. But you see, there's so many different words there. So, you know, I stumbled then in starting to say, I'm Messianic. Well, and then it comes along Hebrew roots. Well, that sounded good for a while until we found a lot of Hebrew roots people just say it because they don't want to mention anything Jewish, you know. And that's wrong. You know, Jews were given the oracles of God. You know that? That's what the word says. They were given the oracles of God. And it said one day in the end time that we'd pull on the tzitzit of the Jew and say, surely you know God, for our forefathers have handed us lives. But really, that's just what it is. It's a pullback to the Bible. You don't have to have a specific name for what it is. Although Paul did say we must all become Jews in our heart. That's what he said. He said we must all become Jews in our heart. And we are grafted in through Yeshua HaMashiach, who, by the way, like he said, was a Jewish rabbi. Or, you know, he left as king of the Jews. He'll return. When he returns, what's he going to be? He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So that's a fantastic thing. But it doesn't matter. As long as you believe and you turn away from sin and read his word, put it in your heart. And you should keep the feast days. Don't let it be forced on you, but you should try them, like Mark says. Let me tell you what. Once I saw a Passover and how it goes, wow. Passover surpasses any Christmas service that I've been in any sense, and tabernacles and all those things, and you attend those wonderful things and see the biblical meanings that are embedded in them, that you can go to your Bible and prove them and see all the wonderful things. Wow, it's just fantastic. And if you really want to know about the feast, I'm serious, you go over here to Mark's site at ElShaddaiMinistries.us. ElShaddaiMinistries.us, or at my website. If you're listening to this in the archives, there will be a link. But you click on that link and you go over there, and I think that particular set is $25. But let me tell you what, it's well worth it, and it's something that you should share with everybody. And the feast days, yeah, we should be keeping the feast days, and we should keep in all the Torah. For the Torah is God's instruction for holy living. That's what it is, Torah. You know, Torah is a archery term, which means, Torah means hitting the mark. Well, the mark is righteousness, of course. Well, so what's missing the mark? What do you think that means? Missing the mark is sin. And so, you know, that's wonderful. You know, that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, what about that Mark said tonight? Talked about the cock crows twice. Well, there's no cock crowing. That was a town crier. That's an amazing thing. And I bet how many of you people knew that? Those of you that knew it, send me an email and let me know. Let me see how many emails that we get about that. But anyway, we got to start getting out of here. Hey, let me remind you that Mission Watch is going to be switching to 2 hours before this program. It'll be on 5 p.m. Central starting next week on the same day, a Thursday. And we'll be able to line up some good guests for you. Being live, it's easier to line up guests than it is for pre-recorded. You know, Mission Watch is a pre-recorded program. But now, through the blessings of this radio station, they decided to let me have that live. And so that's a great blessing. We'll be able to line up some really good guests for you. And I've got a bunch of them in mind. And so we'll have that, and then we'll get an hour's break because it'll be over at 6 p.m. Central, and then we'll take a break for an hour. Then we'll come back at 7 p.m. Central. And amen. So that's going to be a good combination of programs. And I really got some good ideas on what we're going to do with it like that. And so, man, make sure you tune in and tell everybody else. Tuning in live. I like doing live radio. Anyway, folks, really do pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We need your help right now. I'm telling you, this summer has just about killed us. Our walk-in cooler is down. We really need to get that fixed. It's down still. We did get my vehicle back started and going, but we're also having some problems with some of the other vehicles that are ministry vehicles. So pray about support for Wichita Mission Church. We also need food. It's, you know, all this year we've been buying food just, you know, all summer. It's been like buying 1 week at a time, and that makes it expensive. So pray about a donation for food. Need some large print King James Bibles. Pray about that, and of course, the homeless need what you need, and they need hygiene, and so you need hygiene, don't you? Well, they need hygiene products also. Well, I'm going to get out of here. We must remember that there really is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, and He gave His life for our repented sins. Yeah, repented sins. We have to turn away from sin. He gave His life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. No, Allah and Yahweh are not the same person, or God, rather. Yahweh is your Father. Allah, you know what? Allah, the Muslims, the Islamic people say that Allah has no son. And he who denies the Son denies also the Father. Anyway, remember, always be a blessing to others. Make sure you tune in again next week, as we are warning the world as it happened. Asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or no one else. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.